Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Yeah, the Jazz look our team made up of a bunch of guys that have been effectively bought out or traded at the end of a contract. That have all been like the Jazz are playing like they're in the movie Major League, and they have been challenged by a coach. Like, they are legitimately a bunch of dudes. If you look at their roster, you're like, that these are guys who are just thrown in at the back end of trades. And then, or who just, like, didn't work out, like Markkanen, for one reason. And Markkanen's having, like, a transcendent start to his career, or his season due. And, like, even Walker was, this is Walker's technically second team?
Second team
in his NBA career, even though he was drafted by the Bucks? Is that right? Was he drafted by the Bucks?
Wolves.
That's right.
Yeah. Technically the Grizzlies, but they traded that pick to the Wolves. So
13. So yeah, technically it's third.
But
hey, great opener though.
He had a good opener.
First player to ever have a double double and 100% from the field in their debut.
He had a good opener. He had a good second game. I'm watching a little bit of this Rockets, and he's
his first game by far.
What, do you have three fouls in the first, like, his first, like, 8 minutes of playing? Just
six.
Not?
Yeah.
Six. He's oof.
Played, yeah, and he got his fourth in, like, 2 minutes later. He's only played, like, 8 minutes tonight. So, and I don't think he'll go back in tonight.
Those are Greg Oden numbers.
On the flip side, this is probably Jabari's best performance so far this young season. Now, granted, I haven't been able to watch a bunch of Jabari's games because they played the Hawks and the Grizzlies, but he's played a lot better, it looks like, and his shooting numbers are a lot more efficient tonight. So he seems to be active on both ends of the floor. So
I saw that he got a three. The Jazz left him so wide open for a three that if he had missed it, he should have just quit. Like they just left him. They just left him as a trailer, and the guard saw him and was like, okay. And he's at like free throw line extended, wide open, and he nails it. And the Rockets Twitter account tweeted it out like, Jabari. I was like, that's not that impressive of a play. If he had missed that, it would have been a disaster. Like, he's getting paid to make that shot.
I think he's like 3 of 5 from 3 tonight. He's been like 3 of 11, 2 of 7. So he's been much more efficient from the stripe tonight. He's had a little bit of foul trouble too. But unfortunately, we can't say the same about Chuma Okeke. He's struggled. He was 0 for 5 from the field and from 3 tonight. And it's not been a good start for him down in Orlando.
Well, we officially hate the Magic as a fan base, so we can.
Why do we do that? Why do we hate the Magic?
We the Auburn fan base hate the Magic for not taking Jabari number one. They can just trade or cut Chuma or whatever they want to do there. He'll jump on with somebody else and start playing well.
Maybe he'll get a free transfer, like one Cristiano Ronaldo just got from Manchester United.
Chuba is exactly like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Not the way that the Cristiano Ronaldo era was predicted to end in Manchester.
Not at all.
I bet he's playing in Miami next year. Or like maybe, yeah, later in 2023, he's playing MLS soccer. Soccer!
And Isaac has not really found a role in Cleveland either. They've started him a couple of games, but he gets in foul trouble, and then he's usually the first one out of the game if he starts. And I think he may have 4 points in 3 games. That's it. It's been a struggle.
That Cleveland team's kind of interesting too this year. They haven't been horrible, but they haven't been. They were riding a lot on Donovan Mitchell. They have a lot riding on Donovan Mitchell rather. Yeah. And I don't know if it's coming across as
clearly. Great. They should bench him for Sharif Cooper.
Sure.
Sure.
Sharif is not in the league.
He's on a two-way deal, though.
No,
is he?
You didn't get the two-way deal?
No.
He's on the training camp roster for their G League team.
Yikes.
But not on the two-way deal. So, and then there's JT Thor, who's seemingly earning some more minutes with the Hornets off the bench.
He's playing 14, 15 minutes a game. Like, he's getting normal minutes. He's a rotation piece for the Hornets. And knocking down threes.
Mm-hmm.
He was 3 for 5 from three, I think, last night or last game. I'm telling you, he's going to end up being the one that we're like, gosh, if we had just kept him for 2 years.
It's always fun to play the what if game with, like, especially Sharif and JT Thor and just kind of like the what if, just because, you know, that team at Auburn, obviously that was a disappointing season, and just to think, you know, what could have been. But then again, you know, I think about it, you know, if those guys come back, you know, who comes in for, you know, and joins last year's team? Do we get, you know, do we get Walker? Do we get a KD or a Wendell? It's hard to say, but.
The question is, do we need a Wendell or a KD if we've got Sharif and JT Thor?
Probably not, no. So we're probably resetting at point guard completely this year if Sharif had come back. And, of course, I see a lot of people all the time talking about, you know, he should have come back for another year. Based on how things have gone, I can see that. So
he did sign a sneaker deal, which is odd. Like, he has an Adidas deal. Well, I don't think.
Probably his dad working some relationships. Yeah. He has.
Like, he does. He's only, he has a deal. I don't think Isaac has a deal technically.
They're all what you call in the skateboarding community getting flow from brands, but yeah. Not on a deal.
I believe that Jabari has a deal with Adidas.
Interesting.
Sounds right. Got a sneaker deal with somebody, I'm sure.
I think he's been wearing Adidas in the last couple of games at least. And there could be people who think that Sharif got the Adidas deal so that Adidas could have a kind of an in with the Auburn players. I think Walker is wearing Adidas too.
Definitely not wearing Adidas. Yeah,
that could be then. I'd buy it.
Yeah, nobody's wearing Under Armour. You'd rather stand with Adidas today than Under Armour, because at least Adidas shoes look cool. Yeah. Well, guys, I think we started recording. A little NBA talk went in there. If you don't know, you're rocking with the Orange and True podcast, live to tape. The voices you heard were those of esteemed rumor monger Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett. Other Ryan, you want to say something? You say hello.
Yes stands for doing a basketball episode. It's shooting that thing from way downtown.
Nice. The other side of us, live atop a Zoom background of a coffee shop in a loft outside of Brooklyn, New York, is the AU chief.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee.
Algonquin for the good land. To the other joining us as well, you probably heard the voice of one Dr. Will McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group. He is here to talk a little bit of basketball.
Well, in the words of one Malik Dunbar, about that time, y'all. About that time.
Shooty hoops, Will.
Indeed. Indeed, now, it is about that time.
It is about that time.
How many days as we record?
14. In 333 and a half hours, give or take a few minutes.
There is a really plenty good of chance time that I'm having a kid about the time we have a basketball game. So,
are y'all like any day now at this point? That's amazing.
No, we're 6 weeks out, but
yeah, it could happen.
Both our kids were early. Yeah, I mean, they told her at their last appointment, like, if she made it to today, then they like, and the baby started coming, and they wouldn't stop it. So our first one was a week early, second one was 2 weeks early. So this one could be any time now. She's also almost as big as they were when they were born.
Right. So. Is this one going to be named Johnny, spelled J-H-O-N-I?
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Johnny Broom. Johnny Broom Chief.
Could go either way. Be named after our women's basketball coach, Johnny.
That's true.
I had an aunt named Johnny. Great aunt.
See, there you go. Family name.
Family name, yeah.
Jabari just got his first dunk.
All right.
You guys, we got Shooty Hoops Will on to talk about the Auburn basketball team. We're 14 days away, as he mentioned. That's about 2 weeks, as my math says. And that's plenty of time to fix our shooting, I suppose, after looking at the leaked stats of the UAB scrimmage and seeing the stats from the closed-door intra-squad games. It does appear that the only flaw this team might have is the only flaw that last year's team had, which is consistent outside shooting. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're not. I think everybody knew that's what Auburn's biggest flaw was last year. And, you know, we really didn't do much to add any pieces in the transfer portal. I know there was some guys that they looked at trying to get, but, you know, ultimately the only guy that Auburn got out of the transfer portal was Janai Broom, to kind of take on the role that Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler left from last year. You're not going to replace either of those two guys, but, you know, BP's talked a lot about, you know, Broom coming in, and then, you know, Yohan Traore, the freshman, from France, coming in as well. You know, two guys that, you know, they're going to give it their best shot. But as far as the three-point shooting, it's going to come down to guys from last year. Can they shoot the three ball at a more consistent rate? I think that's going to be the biggest thing for this Auburn team. Wendell Green, Katie Johnson, Zepp Jasper, you know, Chance Westry once he gets back. But yeah, so you're definitely not wrong.
I really wonder if Zepp Jasper is going to become kind of the spot up shooter on this roster now, because I think you'll see Wendell take more of the role of the starting point guard that he transitioned towards at the end of last year. But just looking at the UAB stats in the scrimmage, 3 of 17 from three for the team, and Zepp had two of them. So just he and Jalen Williams, the only two people that made a three. None of the other guards. You know, like Will said, Chance Westry being gone holds that down a little bit. But,
do we know Chance's, like, is he coming back soon?
Yeah, when he had his surgery, I think it was a 3 to 4 week deal. And quite frankly, I think they'll bring him all along slowly. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll get into this. You know, looking at the early schedule, I think Auburn will be okay early. You definitely want him ready by the time you get to SEC play, because you'll need him definitely by then.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I would like him as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if this is a low-key undercover operation by Bruce to keep his name out of the NBA scouts' mouths as long as possible, that's great. Yeah, we're here for it. We need him in March. We don't need him in October as much.
You believe like I do, it wouldn't be the first time he tried to do something to keep somebody away from the scouts.
When we said the same thing about Jalen Williams, that Jalen Williams was a one-and-done player that Bruce hid. Which could still be the case.
Sure.
In which case, I'd be mad at him if I was Jalen Williams at this point. Going to end my senior year. I think the depth chart is starting to solidify a little bit. Or at least for the early part of the year. I think
seems that way.
Kind of Wendell's going to start. Zepp is your first off the bench. And then Trey Donaldson, who had a pretty decent scrimmage.
Yeah, played 15 box. Minutes in the scrimmage, 3 of 4 from the field, and took 6 free throws as well. So, yeah.
I mean, he was 6 for 6, too, wasn't he?
5 of 6.
Yeah. 5 of 6.
But still, I mean, 11 points, you know, he's +9 and plus minus. I don't know if he's going to see a ton of minutes, but I mean, he's only one injury away from being a piece that's going to play 10, 15 minutes a game. So
Right.
Good to have him ready.
And I don't like, and I don't really like getting too worked up over scrimmage numbers and stuff either. And, you know,
same here.
It's just hard to, it's hard for me until I like physically see him out on the court playing in an actual game action. But, you know, 3 of 17 from three, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we'll probably see some of that this year in games, but until I see him on the court, I don't want to get too worked up over.
Yeah, I'm not going to panic just because I think we also have a bunch of, well, several gamers on the team. Like, I imagine, even though I think Katie Johnson's probably given 100% effort at all times, I think that he probably plays his best on game days when he has good games.
Right.
Rather than in practice. So I'm still reserved in my judgment on the shooting. I mean, look, we lost to Barry in a exhibition game the year that we made the Final Four. So
the year before that.
Previous year.
Year we won the SEC. Yeah.
That's right. Year we won the SEC.
Sorry, Chief. I didn't mean to cut.
That's basically it. I'm gonna keep myself from freaking out until I see us not be able to hit threes.
If we are after Thanksgiving in early December, and Alan Flanagan is not starting for the team, I will slowly begin to freak out. That will be kind of the beginning of my.
If Alan Flanagan is not starting in December?
He's not starting by Christmas, let's say.
What if Chance Westry's starting?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, if he started at the three.
So
I'm kind of confused what you're thinking here, Crow. Where do you think Flan's starting?
At the three. I'm saying if Chris Moore is starting at the three at Christmas, at that end of year tournament.
That's Mr. Double-Double in the scrimmage, Chris Moore.
Let's just cancel the season. At least that's what I saw one person say if Chris Moore starts.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Oh, I'm not saying cancel the season, but I am saying are you going to roll into March with Chris Moore?
I mean, what if he's getting laying down a double-double every game?
Sure. If he's averaging 10 and 10 every game, he should start.
Okay.
But I don't think that I don't think that's our best foot forward.
Right, so
that means something bad is
Chris
happening.
Moore hater.
No.
I was going to follow you throughout the season. Every time he has a big night, I'm going to bring this up.
I would like Chris Moore to be exactly what Chris Moore is. I'd like him to come off the bench and give you energy, maybe get a 10, 15-point game every so often. But I do not want Chris Moore having to be one of my three guys that I need attacking from the outside every game.
I think one of the big strengths of this team is going to be the guard play. And I know that was probably the Achilles heel last year towards the end of the season. But you know, this is the first time, I think I mentioned this last week, that Bruce has brought back not just his top two, but top three guards since he's been at Auburn. I mean, he brought back Jared and Bryce from the SEC season to the Final Four season. But bringing back Wendell, Katie Johnson, and Zepp Jasper isn't something we've seen before with Bruce at Auburn. The guards that come back for Bruce they always get better. You look at the improvement that Samir made from Final Four year till the next season.
McCormick.
Javon McCormick made. Obviously, Jared and Bryce made huge steps every year. I think this is going to be a huge year for the guards in this team.
Kareem Canty. He was better under Bruce than he was before Bruce.
And I think, too,
Simeon Bowers.
JT Harrell.
They've got something to prove this year when Wendell, Katie's up, because everybody has talked about how they were the Achilles heel last year, how they can't shoot. Now they've had a full off season, in the program. They've heard all the naysayers and, you know, they've got something to prove. So, but a lot of Auburn success this year, like we've talked about, it hinges on how those guards, you know, how the guards play and, you know, the three ball. So.
Yeah, and that was my main point about my Chris Moore thing, is if our biggest Achilles heel is we can't shoot threes, starting at the three, a guy who has not made a three in 2 years, may not be our best option to fix what kills us. But what looks to be maybe hopeful is Traore might shoot threes. Maybe.
Let's hey, I would love to see a team that scored 90 points a game all in the paint.
All in the paint. Just twos. Well, look, if we can do it, let's do it. Like if
that's about what last year's team was. I mean,
yeah, right? It is a lot like what last year's team was.
They're all the paint and elbow elbow jumpers.
You just don't have a like the and I've seen this a lot too. And it's like Auburn just doesn't have a guy this year like they had last year. It's like we need a big shot. You get the ball to Jabari. Most more often than not make the shot. You know, Auburn does not have that guy this year. They do have a
guy they can say, look, nothing's fallen. Just put it to Broom and he'll get us at least 2 points, maybe.
Yeah, I think we have a guy in him that's gonna clean up a lot of stuff around the rim too. So I mean we may get a good amount of points in the paint just off of rebounds.
I'm very excited to see what Jani Broom brings to this Auburn team because I watched him his freshman year at Morehead State. I remember him in the OVC tournament playing Belmont and Murray State, and he just went absolutely off and got that Morehead State team into the tournament his freshman year. He put up some ridiculous numbers in the semis and finals and then had a good year last year, and it's like, man, this guy would be a lot of fun at Auburn. So I was very excited to see Auburn get him in the portal this year. So. He's got to be that go-to. He's got to be that go-to guy. I mean, we can't expect him to be Jabari, but man, he's got the potential to be close to it.
He's your running game. He's got to be there. He's got to be solid.
He nearly had a double-double in Auburn or at Auburn last year.
Right.
The opening game, he was 12-8. And you know that was kind of before. We really knew what we had in Jabari and Walker, but still, I mean, two guys playing in the NBA right now, and he held his own last year. So,
21 for Jabari tonight, 21-9.
Attaboy.
Swift final.
Pretty good.
Get some
pretty
big good. Three throws down the stretch to ice it. So
he started at the five, too.
Yeah, first time. Yep, started at the five tonight. So, but
Rockets. Is Jabari Smith the best 3-point shooting center of all time?
Carl Anthony Towns would argue with that. Also, I believe Dirk Nowitzki started with a five mini games.
A German man named Dirk.
But Dirk didn't start at the five after like his rookie year because he was like, "Look, I can't really do this. Let me be the four or the three." Let's go. You have a question here, Ryan? Does Zepp start over Katie Johnson? I don't think that's.
Yeah, I mean Zepp. Zepp was, you know, the starter for most of the year last year at the one. It seems like he's going to be kind of the backup at the one and the two this year.
I liked it when he was in the game with Wendell last year for those random stretches. And he does shoot threes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is going to end up being the, like I said, the kind of the spot up shooter on this team. So,
I think Zepp's just going to be a utility guy. I would not be shocked if he got way less minutes than he did last year.
I would love to know what is the ceiling and the floor for Donaldson? Like, what do we think we should expect out of him this year?
The ceiling is, and you hate to phrase it this way, but the ceiling is if somebody above him gets hurt and he's forced to play 15, 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, how good could he be? Like, what's the most?
That's not the ceiling. That's just
I don't think he would ever hit his ceiling unless he's playing that much. Is kind of what I was leading to.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. We haven't really seen him play any college basketball, right? But in what we have seen, like on his high school tape, and he is as physical as you'll see in a guard. I don't think we'd be running the offense through him, but it'd be interesting to see him play in the SEC. He was a safety. He committed as a football player too, so
he made the right choice.
The bummer for him, he didn't get to play both. You know,
real
you think,
bummer.
You think he wishes he was out there playing Arkansas this weekend?
Yeah, man. Hey, that would beat football or basketball conditioning that he's probably going to have to do.
Wait, yeah, there's football happening?
Yeah.
There's a recruiting visit this weekend. That's
the football game. On campus. That's the big news this weekend. Exactly. By the way, I know Crow's a big Bayfall fan.
Huge Bayfall. If we could get Bayfall, I would shut up about our shooting.
Relation to Taco Fall? Or?
Yeah, it's his cousin, right?
I don't think they are now.
No.
Okay. I think they're all, but I do think they are both South Sudanese or Senegalese.
I can't remember where Taco is from.
I know that.
I mean, I'm
Bowl
sure.
Bowl is South Sudanese.
Taco Fall is from Dakar, Senegal.
Senegal.
There we go.
Just like Akon, also Senegalese.
And Mamadou Njai. And probably every other Njai that you've.
The other Mamadou Njai. There were a couple at one point. All right, let's go through this. Let's go through the exhibition. We have an exhibition against UAH next Wednesday.
9 days away from that one.
That is in 9 days.
I know Ryan has tracked schedules before. Sorry, Ryan, but this is the only Alabama team we're playing at all in a non-conference.
I noticed that. I think it's the first time since Bruce has gotten to Auburn we don't have a D1 in-state team on the schedule. But, still sneaking in that scrimmage with UAB and the exhibition with UAH.
Imagine not playing those.
Yeah, I know.
Couldn't be us.
Still want them back on the regular schedule. But it's nice they did a home-and-home for this because they played a secret scrimmage in Birmingham last year.
I mean, some schools are afraid to play local or other in-state D1 schools, but I guess we're just built different.
If there's an in-state school we play in the first round of the NCAA tournament, who is it?
We played JSU last year.
Right, this upcoming season. Is JSU still a tournament team? UAB? I mean, UAB's kind of a top 100 team, aren't they?
I mean, UAB's a top 25-30 team, honestly.
Okay, so maybe second or third. Third game in the tournament.
Yeah, they're gonna be really good this year, because Jelly Walker's back for them. They've got some guys. Andy Kennedy continues to just do a phenomenal job there, and they're going up to the American next year.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Somebody's pager just went off. All right. Dr. McLaughlin, everything okay? Dr. McLaughlin, everything okay in the ER?
We're good here.
All right. We open with 4 straight home games. We as in Auburn. 4 of the easiest games on the schedule per Ken Pomeroy.
Yeah. So you start with George Mason, South Florida, Winthrop, and Texas Southern. George Mason being the most difficult of those, but even then, they're outside the top 100 in Ken Pom. Will, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this kind of first crop of games, but definitely good to see get some home crowd momentum going earlier in the year.
I like the George Mason game to start out with. George Mason's coached by Kim English, former guard at Missouri, one of the up-and-coming coaches in college basketball. Thought maybe at some point he could end up back at Missouri. Obviously, Dennis Gates is there now, but he's a name to watch as far as up-and-coming head coaches at George Mason. USF, I mean, I'm not going to say
much. The boys, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say much about that game because I was at the game in Tampa last year. It was not a fun game. It was a very bad basketball game. Mm-hmm. But they are back on the return game of a home and home. And then Winthrop and Texas Southern. Texas Southern won in Gainesville last year against Florida. And the last time I think they played Auburn, I think it was 2014-15 season. I may be wrong. I think Auburn barely won that game. So, and then my Winthrop note, we played them the last time, I believe, the night before the 2017 Iron Bowl. And if I recollect, we put up a lot of points, well over 100 that night. So, but Winthrop's always a pretty good team in the Big South. So, and as far as – and Texas Southern's always a contender in the SWAC. So, I mean, that's about all I've got for those four games. But it should be four – it should be four wins for Auburn. So –
that Winthrop score, Will noted, was 119-85.
I was thinking it was 119. That sounded right. So it was
led by Mustafa Heron with 31 points.
By the way, shout out to Mustafa. He's on a G League training camp. He got a G League training camp spot with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers.
Good for him.
So
yeah, good for Mustafa.
So
stuff with a great line in this game. 31 points on. 9 of 13 from 2, 7 of 7 from the stripe, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, and he fouled out.
Whoa.
It's like hitting for the cycle.
Yeah. You can score over 30 and foul out. That's like, that is like a Ron Artest line.
Like, get in, get your buckets, get out.
Yeah. I remember being in the front row, and he had a really nice like reverse dunk. He like drove to the paint. Going one direction, went under the basket and dunked it the other way. And I just remember just being wild by that. I think that was that game. Ryan, you and I were there.
Yeah.
Courtside to see that. I remember that.
Mustafa always had some really angry dunks. He was good. He was always good for one or two just angry dunks a game. Not as disrespectful of dunks as maybe we've seen from like a Malik Dunbar or a Dylan Cardwell at times. Is Dylan going to be that for this team? Like, who is the – I'm going to do a very disrespectful dunk on your
definitely,
face.
Definitely Dylan.
Or Katie Johnson is capable of it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like we're sleeping on one Jalen Williams, who threw down one of my favorite dunks of all time in the Tennessee game as a freshman.
Yes, that's true. Off the backboard to
himself. Pretty much his first real action in a game, and he's throwing off the backboard to himself against Tennessee.
The most disrespectful dunk.
There's a reason that there's a reason the Twitter account's been the Jalen Williams fan account for the last 2.5 years.
I mean,
that was the moment. That was
also the moment we all decided he was actually a one and done player that Bruce has been.
I mean, who does that? No one does that, and he just did it off the bench out of nowhere. Man.
Let's
see some more of that.
Well, being who would throw down, but we haven't really talked about him a little bit ago. But it sounds like he's made a lot of progress this offseason, and obviously didn't have to do a ton with Walker and Jabari last year. But you know, he's going to have to do a lot more this year. But you know, Dylan looks like he has the capabilities and potential to take a huge step this year. So I just want to mention that too.
Dylan had a great year last year, but it was like kind of hidden behind the fact that he was behind two All-Americans. But he has the capability to be a really good player.
He was arguably the second best shot blocker in the SEC last year, just behind another guy on the team.
Yeah, I'm actually – his minutes are something I'm interested to see. Because, like, Traore is going to get minutes. Broom's going to get minutes. So where's Dylan? How's he getting in? And where does Stretch fit in on this team?
Yeah, and I think Dylan's going to be mostly playing at the four with Jalen. But that's kind of the beauty of it is you could put any of these four guys – at the five and run with it between Jalen, Trey or Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell.
You could put Jan at the three and play really gigantic.
Good. You could put him at the one.
You could put him at the one. He could play point forward, though.
You really want Jalen to play point guard, Ryan. You have said that for years.
Simeon Bowers Memorial.
I know. I think I'm actually, staying with the point forward
he's
playing the three this season.
He's a good distributor. I mean, it just is. Maybe one of the second best on the team.
He's a good passing big man, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was everything the same but 6'3", he would profile perfectly as a guard.
Sure.
You know, really good passer, pretty good shooter. just in general, good playmaker in space. We'll take him. Going back to the schedule, you know, Auburn's had some big Thanksgiving tournaments over the last couple of years. A little lighter this year, going to Cancun. Auburn plays Bradley in the first game, and then either Northwestern or Liberty in the second game. They'll be favored in both of those, regardless of who they play. Will, you got any thoughts on those teams there?
Not really. I think, you know, like you said, those should be two wins for Auburn. Liberty's always a pretty good, solid club. I would say they're probably I don't know if they'd be favored Northwestern or not. Northwestern has had a rough couple of years after making the tournament. Chris Collins, former Duke player, still there. Probably on the hot seat at this point, maybe, perhaps. But Liberty's always a good squad. So, but Auburn should take care of business down there. And, you know, I know a lot of people were disappointed in that tournament, but the last couple of years, you know, look, we played Maui. We played Battle for Atlantis last year. So next year we're playing back in Brooklyn with, like, Notre Dame and Oklahoma State. So it can't be – I mean, not every year it's going to be a great, you know, tournament with three top 25 teams, but that's not the worst thing in the world. So
sometimes you just need to go to Mexico and get away from your problems and not worry about anybody else.
Sure.
You should definitely do it like on a recruiting weekend or something.
During basketball season, usually, yeah, good idea.
Right. Yeah, that's freaking unbelievable.
Schedule gets a little tougher after there. We won't go through the whole non-con here, but the three toughest non-con games are all after Thanksgiving. Auburn's got St. Louis on that Sunday after the Iron Bowl at home. So that'll be a pretty good matchup there. Auburn's played St. Louis a few times in the last few years.
It's always been a battle. St. Louis is going to be really good this year. They pretty much brought everybody back. They had some injuries, but that's Auburn's best. I mean, that's easily Auburn's best non-conference home game, but the Billikens are going to be really good this year. They had a 13-point lead with 8 minutes left last year in St. Louis, and Auburn stormed back and won that game. Had some big shots from Leo Berman, the Bermanator, hit some big threes. I was in St. Louis, and there was guys that I was sitting next to that when he came in, they didn't think much of him. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a walk-on, but this guy can hit threes, and they didn't believe me. Leo came out and hit some really big shots, and then KD had the – game winner with like less than 10 seconds left. It was a tie game, but that was a fun game. That was one of those games that, you know, I love for BP to schedule, go on the road and play, you know, not so much a mid-major, but, you know, an Atlantic 10 team. But that was a fun game, fun atmosphere last year. But that St. Louis team is going to be really, really good. Uri Collins, point guard, one of the best.
Yeah, Collins is back. Okay.
He's back. Jesperson's back. They've got like pretty much brought back their entire team, and I think if they're not favored to win the A-10, they're second. But I think they're first or second in the A-10. But that's going to be a really tough game, and you know we played them in Birmingham a couple years ago too. So yep. This is the end of a three-game set with them.
Yeah. I wish this one was earlier in the season because there's no way I'm going to make this one because this is probably our best home game. Aside from Memphis, I guess, question mark.
Well, that's in Atlanta as well.
And it's a lousy time slot, too. It's a Sunday afternoon game, the day after the Iron Bowl. Like, I hate that, but.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
Well, it's just trying to give us, you know, something to look forward to that weekend.
I guess so.
Oh, I got something I'm looking forward to that weekend, maybe.
Is there a Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, as always?
No, because something that needs to be done might get done that weekend.
No, it has to be done that weekend. That needs to happen
this weekend, last weekend,
before the Winthrop game or after the Winthrop game or whatever day that is.
Should have happened 3 weekends ago. Should happen 30 weekends ago. Who knows? You guys want to hear a fun stat?
Boy,
that doesn't sound very fun.
Girl. Well, it's fun in that it is a Josh Dubb stat.
Oh no.
but it's not from Josh Dubb. It's from the Houston Rockets. Jabari Smith had 17 points tonight. He joins one other player as the only Houston Rocket to score 10-plus games in their first four career games, all while under the age of 21. The only other Houston Rocket to do it is
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon.
Oh, baby.
So anytime you're in company of the Dream, you're doing okay, Jabari.
Man alive.
But I like the under 21 part. It's like, look, we may have had guys do it, but throw in this guy's this young.
He's 19 years old still.
I know.
I'm sure McGrady did it, but he was, 29 by the time he got to the Rockets, right? 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Jabari was born in 2002.
Man, a lot. Jabari doesn't remember Tracy McGrady playing. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah. Jabari was born after Michael Jordan retired the second time. He was born
for
only 2 years. Only 2 years prior to LeBron making it debut in the league.
Okay, so Tracy did play in Houston after Jabari was born.
Yeah, but how old was Jabari?
But right.
So he would have been between the ages of 2 and 8.
Yeah.
So when Jabari got number one, if people were like, oh, that's T-Mac's number, he was like, I don't really know who that is.
Fun trivia. Do you remember the last team Tracy McGrady played for?
He played for the Spurs, won a championship.
No.
Science. He did do that, though.
When?
He played against the Heat.
Not according to Basketball Reference. According to Basketball Reference, the last NBA team Tracy McGrady played for is one Atlanta Hawks. Go Hawks.
When was that?
That's the question.
2011-2012. Played 52 games.
He played for the San Antonio Spurs his last stint in the league.
Yeah.
How is that not showing up?
I'm not sure that he actually played. So, because he played for the Hawks in, from 11 to 12. And then he went and played for the Quindago Eagles, the Chinese Basketball Association. And then he came back in 2013 and
hung out with Spurs for a little bit.
Signed with the Spurs.
Won a ring.
Time to qualify for the playoff roster.
Yep.
So I don't think he played a game for him. So that's the.
He did not.
He just hung out with Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you look at his Basketball Reference, at the top it has his jerseys, and the far right is a silver and black one. Because he did play for them, but he did not ever play for them.
He wore a jersey for him.
Yeah.
He had a number. He was assigned a number.
Which is odd that they don't ever show up. They don't just give you a bunch of zeros.
Yeah.
Well, should we finish up the
because he has no regular season stats. He only has playoff stats.
He only has playoff stats. Okay.
That's right. He only has
He did play. He played 6 games.
They signed him for the playoffs.
They literally signed him for the playoffs. Yep.
This is great. Wow. Tracy McGrady deep dive.
So I guess it's a little bit like, I didn't realize this, like European soccer. If a dude's just floating around, as long as he's not under contract anywhere, you can just pick him up at any time. Even after
a
trade.
I think there is a deadline for picking up guys for the playoffs.
Okay.
I think there is. And he also pitched for the Sugarland Skeeters in the Independent League.
Did he really?
After retiring, yeah.
Yeah.
He was like a 6'10" starting pitcher for the same team that Roger Clemens either owns or also played for it and like signed his kid to it.
Yeah.
One of his kids that are all first names start with K.
Cody or Kobe, something like that.
But what a guy.
Roger Clemens, Jesus.
He drove a burnt orange Hummer H2 that had the University of Texas fight song as the horn.
Brian, Roger Clemens was a really fat guy that pitched for the Astros late in his career.
Red Sox.
Pitched for the Red Sox.
Jays.
He wasn't always a big
He was the guy that gave up the home run to a rookie, Brian McCann, didn't he?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
Hey. Yeah. All right.
He also pitched for the Red Sox. He pitched for the Red Sox, HGH, and he pitched for the Yankees, the Yankees, and he pitched for the Blue Jays and the Stros.
He started his career with he wasn't a big guy when he was with the Red
and the
Sox
Skeeters.
That's somehow how the steroids work.
Yeah, I think you're right. Except when you don't.
No, work his out. Did not look like steroids. His looked like Coors Light. was on.
He was just chilling in the eating Twinkies and drinking Bud Heavy over there in the Lone Star. Maybe
he probably Lone Star. He took he's the one who claimed that it was B12 injections that he thought he was taking. Yeah, but he's throwing strikes.
Pitch until he was like.
Can I rope us back into Auburn basketball?
This is a great Auburn basketball podcast.
Sure, you can try. Yeah, I know, right?
It's more of a Sugarland Skeeters podcast at this point.
The other two big non-con games at the end of the non-con slate. Auburn's playing in Holiday Hoopsgiving again this year in Atlanta, taking on Memphis. That'll be a good one.
I'm excited.
Plenty of recruiting battles between these two teams that have resulted in players going to the G League. But
Penny's done after this year, right? Can we all agree on that?
Why? Memphis was like good last year.
Really?
Well, yeah, they were good at
first, and then they like fell apart. Did they not? Is that
no? Other way around.
No, other way around.
Okay.
They were. Yeah, they pulled Don Calipari.
Didn't they take Gonzaga to the buzzer in
Portland? Tournament? Yep, they're on to 32. They sure did. They added one of the best players on the transfer portal from SMU. I think his name's Kendrick Davis. One of the best players. So Memphis will be good. They are playing Vanderbilt opening night 2 weeks from tonight. It's probably the best game of the slate. That's my opener this year, and I'm excited to see Memphis live and in person, and I can give you all a better idea how they're going to look when I see them in 2 weeks.
And then Auburn also goes on the road after that, takes on USC and Washington. That USC game is really kind of the crown jewel of the non-conference slate. USC will come here next season. That's almost a toss-up on KenPom. Auburn's a little bit higher rated, but, you know, being a road game, evens that a little bit.
I think we're going to learn a lot about Auburn. We talked about this a while ago, you know, I said, like, Chance, may not need Chance early, but hopefully by this point, Champs will be a full go and we'll have everybody up and running. And that West Coast trip's going to be great for Auburn. You know, even if we don't win both of those games, I think they'll be very beneficial for them to play those two games right before the SEC play starts. Pac-12 Network for Auburn, Washington. What a disgrace, but I won't get into TV.
The only place that I'm positive has the Pac-12 Network is our tailgate. Because for some reason, the tailgate satellite has Pac-12 Network. Found that out a week or two ago. I remember what game we were watching. But...
I'm glad we set it up in your backyard, right?
Yeah, you may as well.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll grill out for it.
I'm glad we're playing Washington again in Seattle. You know, we played that first game, the 2018-19 season. We're supposed to return it. We didn't. Then COVID happened. So I'm glad BP in Auburn's finally making that return trip up to Seattle for that game. But again, it's a darn shame it's on the Pac-12 Network.
I'm actually looking forward to away games this year because I might actually be able to leave the house and go, you know, slip over to your house and watch a few away games with you, right?
We'll watch the basketball, see whatever Star Wars is coming on, and make a night out of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a really nice day.
How romantic.
Go see a Star Wars, check out some basketball,
light some candles.
So that'll be the end of the non-con slate, that road trip out west. Auburn's got about a 10 to 11% chance to go undefeated in the non-con slate. One or two losses here is not the end of the world. I know this doesn't look like an absolute.
There's some tournament teams there, though.
There's not a ton of high profile games. There's no Gonzaga, there's no Baylor, there's no Houston, anything like that on here. But yeah, Chief, like you said, there's a lot of tournament teams.
St. Louis, Memphis, USC.
There's a lot of teams. A lot of these mid majors that are in the 100s, like
right.
George Mason, Colgate.
Right.
Bradley, those are all teams that could win their conference with not too many breaks.
every one of these teams has been in the tournament recently, I'm pretty sure, including Texas Southern. Am I crazy, Will?
No, you're not. I think the one that probably hasn't been in the tournament would probably be USF, because I don't think USF's been in the tournament since 2012.
Yeah.
Texas Southern goes all the time.
Yeah, Texas Southern, Winthrop's in there a lot, Bradley, Colgate, St. Louis, Memphis, obviously. Even Georgia State has been there, right? No?
Maybe not just years ago.
Yeah, with Ron Hunter. They have a new coach this year. Jarvis, it's former Georgia player, Jarvis Jonas Hayes.
Jonas Hayes.
Yep, and it was a Hayes. Yep, so that's actually a 2-for-1. We're supposed to go play in Atlanta next year. They're
where do they play? Okay.
They opened a brand new gym downtown this year. I think Georgia Tech's either the first or second home game for them there, and then I think we're supposed to play there next year.
Cool.
Did a 3-game deal with them. So, and also one other scheduled note: we're supposed to play App State in Boone this year. That game has been moved to next year. It actually has a date already. I think it's the first Sunday in December of 2023.
It is the day after the SEC championship game. Yes, so
it is.
We can make our trip to Atlanta and just right on up.
There you go. As long as the game's not at like 2 the next day or 1 or I mean.
It's about Boone's, I think, 4 or 4.5 hours from Atlanta. So
middle of nowhere in the mountains.
So like I said, you don't have to go undefeated here. Obviously you'd like to, but not the end of the world if you don't. You kind of can ease into the SEC slate a little bit. Florida with the new coaches at home. And then you get Georgia on the road.
Florida. Todd Gold, Bruce Pearl.
Auburn's on. Todd Gold.
That's going to be a fun matchup.
Florida's going to be.
Is Colin Castleton back this year?
He is. Yes. Yeah. That's going to be a fun game. Colin Castleton.
If I remember correctly, he worked Dylan Cardwell pretty well last year.
Yeah, no, he's annoying to play because he's.
Oh yeah, Kessler was hurt when we played Florida last year, right?
That's right.
He got in. Oh, I know the first game he got in foul trouble really quickly.
Okay. I'm thinking one of the ones was when that little stretch where he was hurt, but maybe. That's an exciting holiday bleacher game though, Florida versus Auburn.
These holiday bleacher games are a blast.
It's so much fun. If you get a chance to get those tickets down there, get them. Go down there, be loud, be ready to not just sit down the whole game, but go down there. It's really fun. I always enjoy it.
I think y'all had fun with the LSU one last year.
Oh, yeah.
I actually didn't make it down to the LSU game last year because they had already sold out before I could get one. But, Chief, I think we went down for – what game was it?
Was it the
Yale game or the UNA game?
Yale, because they had the guy that looked like Philip Michael Thomas.
Oh, hang on. Yale was earlier.
I was there for Yale. I was there for Yale.
No, it was – so it would have either been UNA or Murray State.
It
was the game before – it was the before Christmas game, so it had to have been Murray. Murray was really good last year, too.
Yeah. But regardless, like I said, holiday bleachers are a lot of fun. Auburn's got – so we won't go through the whole SEC slate. I mean, you play everybody. Doesn't really matter what order it's in, right?
Yeah.
But we'll just kind of talk about, you know, the highlight games, you know, the toughest ones and some of the easier ones. Just kind of lay things out. So the Auburn's three toughest matchups are, you know, they're all road games. Auburn goes to Tennessee on February 4th, to Kentucky on February 25th. And to Alabama on March 1st. So in the second half of the slate, I only listed those as the lowest percentage, lowest win percentage.
All right. Okay.
It's actually the only three games Auburn's projected to lose this season. 24% for Tennessee, 23% for Kentucky, and 45% for Alabama. So almost a toss up there.
Oh, we're going to win that one. It's fine.
Yep. But yeah, in the back half of the schedule, so hopefully Auburn's rolling by that point. Maybe built up a little bit of a lead in the conference. Will, I mean, where do you see those games kind of stacking up? More winnable than the other, or what do you see?
Of those three you mentioned?
Sure, yeah.
probably I would agree with Chief and say the game in Tuscaloosa would be the, probably the most winnable of the three.
Second to last game of the season, by the way.
Yeah, and it's and the thing about that is it's right after we go play in Lexington. So that, you know, I think Auburn did good first part of the schedule as far as, you know, it's manageable. But the last three games of the year is pretty brutal if you look at it. At Kentucky, at Alabama, and then you host Tennessee to end the year. So definitely a tough draw to finish. I mean, I say this every year when it comes to Kentucky when we play at Rupp. We haven't won there since 1988.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
– I hate that it's late. I wish we were playing there, like, on January 21st or something.
Yeah.
Like, earlier in the season before, you know, they've gotten their act together. Because they'll be playing like Kentucky by that point in the year. I just
– yeah. And
I think it might be a game day game as well.
Kentucky
both playing well.
It's a CBS game actually, so I don't know if it will.
What's that?
It's a CBS game, so I
that's right.
Yeah, they don't like.
Well, it was a CBS game last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, game day wasn't there. Game day wasn't there for Auburn, Kentucky. It was there for Auburn A&M.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, they don't like.
Oh, to hear Will.
Yeah, fighting Buzz Williams.
They don't like to do the game day with a game that they don't have for that one because it's so much of a operation. Money is not as prevalent in college basketball as college football.
So. Will, let me ask you the most important question about looking at the schedule. I'm looking at it right now, and it doesn't appear that there's a game on here that I can predict will have Bill Walton as color commentator. Is it possible that we could still get Bill on in one of our games?
He does commentary for
Pac-12. Possible for the Southern Cal game, USC.
Yeah, he does Pac-12 network commentary, right?
Thank
well, he
goodness.
He does, but I can see him doing the Auburn-USC game with Dave Pasch.
Yeah.
I can see those two. That's possible. Hey, one of the most fun games I've watched Auburn basketball was the third game in Maui. It was 11:30 p.m. Eastern tip.
Yes.
It was the last game against Arizona.
Yeah, awesome. That was a great
Jason
game.
Kennedy and Bill Walton, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that disagree with us, but it was awesome.
Those people are not fun. So,
it, you know, he was like, when Malik Dunbar would do something, this is one of my favorite players in the Maui Gym Invitational, and he was like waiting for him to throw a dunk down, and he did. And he got so excited. And
it was the Okiki Hawaii game, too, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That game was so much fun to watch, especially just the night before Thanksgiving, and
yeah,
it was a good win for Auburn.
All right, guys, what else we got today, Ryan?
We're getting a little long, but just real quick, Will, if you could give us just, you know, you don't have to hit every team, but just kind of a generic rundown of the SEC. You know, who's at the top? Who are we competing against for the title? And maybe who's at the bottom, kind of the bottom feeders this year?
How overrated is Alabama?
Sure.
That kind of stuff.
Well, I don't see the thing about Alabama is I think, you know, last year they were a very disappointing team. They have said, and we'll see what happens, that they want to focus a lot more on playing defense and effort. And they've got a guy, you know, Alabama's got Brandon Miller, who could be like a guy like Jabari. They have Brandon Miller, and we don't. He's a very talented freshman coming in. And also, they didn't have Namari Burnett last year, and he's back. And they've also got some players. So they're going to be good. Don't know how good. I'm going to go 5-1 real quick. I would put Bama at 5 just because, you know, every year we overrank Bama, and they always disappoint. So I'm going to leave them at 5. I've got Auburn at 4. I think Auburn to me, just with the other three teams, it comes down to guard play as usual and hitting threes. I've got Tennessee at 3. Viscovi's back. Zakai Ziegler's back. They got Julian Phillips, freshman. Auburn really wanted him. He ended up going to Knoxville, veteran team.
How does Justin Powell fit into that team?
Do what now?
How does Justin Powell fit into that team?
Well, if you want to see Justin Powell, you have to get the Pac-12 Network to watch.
Oh, so now you got two reasons to get the Pac-12 Network.
Yeah, and Devin Cambridge is playing him twice. Can't remember the dates exactly. I know one's January 28th, and I think it's on ESPNU if you want to see Devin Cambridge dunk on Justin Powell.
There we go.
Is there like a digital-only package for Pac-12 Network?
I don't know. I think It's like somebody says Fubo TV or somebody has that package. Okay. You can do that. So
Fubo?
Fubo, F-U-B-O. Oh. I think Josh Dubb may have said it was him or James that said that they have.
Yeah, Fubo. Fubo TV. Watch stream Pac-12 Network Live. I've dealt with Fubo before because they do a lot of soccer stuff. So.
And so back at two, and Crow and I've went back and forth on one and two. I think if one particular individual had come back, I would put this team at one. But I'm going Arkansas at two. I think Jalen Williams leaving and going to the NBA is my only reason I don't have them at number one. But Arkansas has a legitimate loaded freshman class. And, you know, when I think of Arkansas, I think of, you know, long-term, the biggest threats, and I'm not counting Kentucky as far as, like, long-term, like, rival, who's going to keep up and have – the SEC program that's going to continue to just be great. And I think it's Arkansas. I think Arkansas is the team we have to keep trying to keep up with. As long as Eric Musselman's there, that's the team that I worry about the most, not counting Kentucky from an SEC perspective. And then obviously at number one, I have Kentucky. There's no excuses in Lexington this year. They have a lot to prove after losing in the first round. They brought a lot of pieces back. They also added some, you know, three-point shooters. Antonio Reeves from Illinois State. CJ Frederick did not play last year, came in from Iowa. Sevier Wheeler's back. Jacob Toppin's back. Unfortunately, they can't blame losses on Ty not playing because Ty is not there this year. But by the way, the national player of the year, Oscar Sheba, is back.
Is Shaedon Sharpe going to be ready for this season?
I don't know if he'll be ready for this season, but I know
he's in the NBA.
I was thinking of Oscar. Yeah. So, but. I just don't think there's any excuses in Lexington this year. And I think they're motivated after losing the first round. And I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, they kind of, in a way, remind me of another team that lost in the first round of a tournament when they were highly ranked, and then they went on to win the whole thing. And I won't say their name because it'll trigger this fan base, but I think you all know who I'm talking about now. So, not saying they're going to win the national championship, but they give me that vibe. So, that's my top five. I think Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, definitely teams kind of in the middle of the conference that could contend for an SEC, I think should and will contend for an NCAA tournament berth. I think those three. So, you know, I'm thinking eight, you know, I'm not saying eight teams going to make the tournament. I think definitely six. LSU is the big wild card to me. As far as, you know, just what I really don't know what to expect. I think a lot of it has to do with what they decide to do. If the NCAA decides to do anything, which we all know that's crapshoot at this point. But that's a very intriguing team to me. And then, you know, A&M Florida. And then obviously those five I mentioned, I think, will all be in the tournament. So as far as teams at the bottom, I mean, I think Georgia, South Carolina, Mizzou, Vandy. Would probably be my bottom four. Mississippi schools.
Is Georgia going to beat anybody besides Alabama this year?
I think so. See, the thing about I think they'll be better than South Carolina. Now, the sad thing about South Carolina is they have a new coach and they have the number one recruit that reclassified from 23 to 22, but they don't have much else. So, G.G. Jackson. So, I don't know what they will do there. Other than him, he's kind of the focal point. But, I mean, hey, Mike White, we'll see what he does at Athens. That was one of those head-scratching head coaching moves in the offseason.
You ever want to feel good, pull up Georgia's KenPom page, and there's so much red from last season. Their block percent on offense, so their percentage of their shots that got blocked was 14.7%.
Wow.
Will, how many teams are in Division I college basketball? Do you know?
Now there are 363.
Last season, if you don't mind.
Probably 361.
358. At least listed on KenPom. Georgia was 358th block percentage on offense.
Wow.
Who was worse?
No, they were 358. That was it.
That was it. Okay. They were dead last. Okay.
Nowhere to go but up for the Dogs.
They were 355th on 2-point percentage allowed. They were letting teams shoot 56% from two last year.
Jeez. I'm really glad we didn't lose to them in Athens, y'all.
So close.
We tried. We tried.
6-26 last season. I mean, that's got to be one of the worst SEC teams in recent memory.
One other thing I want to say, as far as, you know, from a fan's perspective, you know, I know it's tough to get games in Auburn Arena, or Neville Arena, excuse me. Go on the road. The Nev. Go on the road. Support this team. Tickets are, I can attest, tickets are a lot cheaper. You know, I know a lot of people are planning on coming up to Nashville to take over Memorial Gym for Vandy. Planning, you know, there's a few other games. And one other game we didn't mention, too, we're playing West Virginia in the SEC Big 12 Challenge in Morgantown. That should be a fun game. West Virginia kind of had a rough year last year. Even if they're not good, still, it's a rare trip to Morgantown from a basketball perspective. So I'm looking
forward to that. Go and burn a couch.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing. So, you know, I'm a little bummed that we didn't get somebody else for SEC Big 12 Challenge, but we've talked long enough, so I won't go into my tangent on that. So.
I think that Fayetteville, Arkansas, may be as close as they come to Crow. Oh, no.
They don't come to Fayetteville
this year. They're in College Station this year.
They are in College Station.
Pretty close.
That may be it. Yeah,
it's on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Good luck, you know, getting to that.
Come to Crow. Dang it, guys. Come on.
I know, like, South Carolina tickets today are, like, they went on sale at, like, $30. I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't even pay $30 for a Gonzaga, Alabama ticket in Birmingham. So, and that's including fees. So,
really wish we
want to support this team. Go on the road. Go on the road and support them. And trust me, it'll be great. It's a good time.
Bruce, if you're listening to this, when you listen to this, let's get that home and home with SMU going. Let's just get it going as quickly as possible. Like next year.
Throw the Final Four is in Texas this year.
Well, probably, I know that.
8 hours away from you, maybe?
Wait, it's in San Antonio, right?
Houston.
Oh, that's 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
You might be a little busy about that time, though. Huh?
That's true. I believe I might also be doing what Chief's going to be doing at the first game of the season. We're going to bookend this season.
Yeah.
Man. Well, guys, it's been a heck of an episode. Thanks for coming on, Will.
Anytime. Always good to talk hoops with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, shout out Nottingham Forest for beating Liverpool last week.
There we go. It's soccer
up
time.
The forest. Up the forest.
Let's go Tricky Trees. And Everton, convincing win this weekend.
Dortmund needed a win and got a 5-0 win. Yes.
It was amazing, too. Gio Reyna actually stayed on the pitch long enough to score a goal, which is progress.
Progress. It is progress.
It was a good weekend in the soccer arena for professional soccer. Arena.
For this podcast, as far as this podcast is concerned.
I don't have much else to say. There's only three more game weeks left in that, and then the World Cup starts. So.
Yep. So, everybody have a War Eagle weekend.
Keep on cocking.